seen so far that it speaks of authority and rule, which is comforting to the sheep. There's no comfort in rebelling against the authority and rule of God. Comfort comes from submitting to the authority and rule of God. See, the rod was for protection, for defense, great comfort in the protection and defense of the Lord. We saw last week that the rod was used to number or to count the sheep, which is a reminder of his ownership, great comfort there as well. The rod was used to examine the sheep. And lastly, the rod speaks of discipline. It was a tool of chastisement. This is seen all through the Word of God. The rod is seen in God's hands as a tool of chastisement. The rod is addressed in the hands of parents as well, has a tool of chastisement. Again, this rod is of comfort. So, speaks of discipline, speaks of chastisement, and there's comfort in the discipline and the chastisement of the Lord. But notice, we'll look at several verses, and again, a lot of them apply to parents. And we'll try not to get off on that too much. That's not our intent. But in the book of Job, chapter 21, verse 9, again, we want to see the rod as a tool of discipline or chastisement. Job 21, verse 9, their houses are safe from fear. Neither is the rod of God upon them. The rod of God, that speaks of, again, God's chastisement. And yet, when we read of the shepherd, we see that he also has a rod. In Psalm 2, verse 9, speaking of the heathen that rise up against God, he says in verse 9, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. That, of course, is speaking of the rod in the hand of God being used in wrath, being used in anger to destroy his enemies. The rod in the hand of the shepherd for the sheep is never used to destroy the sheep. It's only used to help the sheep, though it can cause great pain. The intent is not to destroy the sheep. In Psalm 89, verse 32. Well, let's read verse 30. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod. I will visit, talking about his people, I will visit their transgression with the rod. Again, there's comfort in that, in knowing that God cares enough for us to use the rod. In the book of Proverbs, of course, the rod is used many times, and usually in relation to parents, but once again, it speaks of a tool of discipline and chastisement. Proverbs 10, verse 13, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. That is, rod is used to correct, to inflict. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. These are verses that, of course, apply to parents and something that something that most of the world does not understand, and parents have put away the rod, and we see the results. In Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes, or as often as needed, or many times. So the rod speaks of love in the hand of a parent. It speaks of love in the hand of the shepherd. It speaks of love. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 15, Proverbs 22, verse 15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it from him. Now notice, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Foolishness is also bound in a sheep. It's characteristic of a sheep. But notice what the rod is meant to do. The rod of correction. The rod is used to correct. To correct. That's the purpose of the rod. And shall drive it far from him, that is, foolishness. So the rod is used to correct foolishness. The rod is used to remove foolishness. There's great comfort in that. When you look at the rod in the hand of the shepherd, there's much foolishness in the people of God. There's much foolishness in sheep. And that foolishness of a sheep can lead to their destruction, just like foolishness in a child can lead to their destruction. But the rod is used to correct that foolishness. It's not used as a tool of anger. It's not used as a tool of vengeance. It is used as a tool of correction. And so it is with the rod in the hand of the shepherd. In Proverbs 23, verse 14, thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell, or there his soul from destruction or ruin. So again here we see the rod, speaking of the rod in the hand of a parent. In verse 13 it says, withhold not correction from the child. It's a tool of correction. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Again, the purpose of the rod is not to destroy, but the purpose of the rod is to deliver him from destruction. Sheep have a tendency to wander. It is said that if a sheep continues to wander, and the shepherd will correct the sheep and do all kinds of things to try to keep that sheep from wandering, but this one particular sheep just wanders no matter what you do. So the shepherd will actually break the legs of the sheep so that he can no longer wander. Sometimes drastic measures
are needed. But again, in the hand of the shepherd, it's always in wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 26, Proverbs 26 and verse 3, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, all of these are to guide, to keep under control, and a rod for a fool's back. Again, the idea conveyed there is not only correction, but to guide the individual. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. So here we see the rod is used to impart wisdom. We saw earlier it was to correct foolishness, and it is to impart wisdom. We see that along with the rod is reproof. Once again, to correct foolishness, to give wisdom or to teach, but a child left to himself. Now again, this is parent-child relationship, bringeth his mother or his father, either one or both, to shame. Child left to himself, a sheep left to himself, a sheep left to itself will be destroyed. It has no chance. A sheep just left out will die. It will be destroyed by wild beasts. And again, the Lord does not just leave us to ourselves. He uses the rod to correct. And then a very interesting verse, one that we need to put into practice in the book of Micah. Book of Micah, chapter 6, and verse 9. The Lord's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Then notice what it says. Hear ye the rod. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? Hear the rod. Again, the rod is for correction. The rod is for discipline. People think of chastisement, or discipline. When they think of the word discipline, there's much included in the word discipline. Discipline is not simply to beat. Discipline's a lot of things. Discipline is training. It's training. Discipline is to bring under control. Discipline is to give instruction. Discipline is to bring order into a life. And here we see that hear the rod. That is, when the Lord takes the rod to us, we would be very wise to hear the instruction of the discipline of that rod. It'll spare you from further instruction. It's just like you spank a child. That child, 2 minutes later, does the exact same thing. Didn't hear the rod. Well, you might have used the rod, but the message was not delivered. So what do? Throw up your hands and say, what's the use? No, you deliver the message again. And what if the child, 5 minutes later, does the same thing again? They're deaf to the rod. Use it again. Use it again. Hear the rod. We make our lives much easier if we listen to the message of the rod. And then it says, and who hath appointed it? This rod here is in the hand of God. It behooves us to listen to the discipline of the Lord and to consider who it is that wields the rod. He's wise. He makes no mistakes. He does not mistake you for someone else and administer discipline to you when it should have been for someone else. Notice in Hebrews chapter 12, very familiar verses of Scripture, Proverbs 12, verse 6, we'll begin with verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. The shepherd carries the rod because he loves the sheep. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth. Now, scourging is a higher degree of chastening. Chastening is correction. Scourging is a more severe degree of correction. And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now, chastening is not pleasurable because it says, if ye endure chastening, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. And then he uses common sense. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? Well, that's pretty common today. But it's common sense that a parent is going to correct their children. Today it's turned around. Children correct their parents. But God's order is that parents correct children, just as God corrects his own children. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, that is, all God's sons, then are you bastards. That is, you're not really a child of God. If God never takes the rod to you, if God never corrects you, it is proof positive that you are not a son of God. I can't tell you how many times people live like the devil and they will say something like, well, if the Lord wanted me to stop, he would have punished me. You know what you just said? You just said, I'm not one of his. That's the reason he hasn't corrected. God corrects his children. Furthermore, in addition to what he's already said, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. That's one of the roles of a parent, to correct. And we gave them reverence. That is, the natural result of that correction, the father is an authority figure. We got the message that we were to reverence them. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? In other words, God is going to correct his children. We as fleshly children of our parents, we reverenced or we respected our parents. And likewise, we are children, spiritual children of God. Should we not, when God deals with us, when God corrects us, should we not be in subjection to him? The happiest life, the most comfortable life, is to be brought into subjection to the Lord. The happiest children today, I mean, children don't understand it, and most parents don't understand it, but the happiest children today are children who realize, I have fences, I have boundaries, and mom and dad's not going to let me cross those boundaries. The happiest children are those who an adult brings order to their life. And that's also true of the child of God. When we realize that God has put fences up, and if I cross that fence, guess what? God carries a rod, and he's going to use that rod. For they verily, that is, our earthly fathers, for a few days chastened us. Okay, we're not, as we become adults, we're no longer under their authority. We're still to reverence them. We're to reverence them even when they're gone, even when they've passed on. We're still to have a reverence and an honor for them. For they verily for a few days. So they had but limited time. And parents need to realize that today. You have but limited time to chasten your child. And if you choose to wait until they're 14 or 15, guess what? Your time's pretty much done. So they, for a few days, chastened us. And then notice, after their own pleasure. That is, they did it in what they saw was right. But they're not perfect. They did not always do it correctly. They did not always correct us in the right way. They may have done it mistakenly. They made mistakes. They may have done it out of anger and perhaps not to correct us, but just to relieve their own agitation. But he, there's a difference, but he, for our profit. God always does it for our profit. Now, I have no doubt in my mind that there were times my dad used the belt, and there were times that he used it simply because he got fed up with me. And it wasn't necessarily to correct me, but whatever. But the Lord always does it for our profit. That's why we need to listen to the rod. For our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. That we might be part. He does it to make us better. He does it to make us better. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but it's grievous. The purpose of chastening is not to make the chastened feel good. It's not the purpose. It's not to bring them joy. But notice, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward. Afterward. There's an afterward for a child or a sheep left to himself. There's also an afterward for a child or sheep that receives correction. Afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So we see it brings comfort, it brings joy. So there's the shepherd. He has that rod. It is used for many things. But one of the purposes is to discipline the sheep. And all the sheep at one time or another will come under the discipline of the rod. But it's always for their profit. It's never for their destruction. So there's great comfort. I mean, you can put the rod in the hand of a fool, and there's not much comfort in that. You can put the rod in the hand of a drunk parent, and there's not much comfort in that rod for the child in that household. But you put the rod, you see the rod in the hand of the Lord as our shepherd, there's comfort there. He's never going to abuse me with that rod. Never. Never will he do that. It is always for my profit. It is always out of love. So there is comfort in the rod in a lot of different ways. Next week we'll look at the staff. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Let's look to the Lord, word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Again, Lord, we thank you for each one that you've brought here. We do pray for those that are sick, that you would help them this day. We pray, Lord, for those that are in sin, that you would speak to their hearts. And whatever it is, Lord, that they stand in need of, we leave that with you. And we just pray that you would help us today to worship you in a way that would bring honor and glory to your name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.